Testing, 1, 2, 3, seems to be working.
Okay, this is an interview with Bob Weidenheimer. And this is Joan Weaver and Rosetta Graff are interviewing. And it is March 19th, 2009, and we are in Bob's home at 403 Elizabeth. Okay, Bob, could you tell us your full name?
Robert Russell Weidenheimer.
And I guess we already said where you reside. When and where were you born?
Born in Hutchinson, August the 11th, 1931.
And what were the names of your parents?
My father's name was Dean. My mother's name was Louise.
And your grandparents?
My grandfather's name was Lewis, and my grandmother's name was Emma.
And what were their last, Emma's last name?
Weidenheimer.
Well,
her name, maiden name, was Freeborn.
Well, maybe, I guess, your mother's maiden name.
Your maiden's name was Russell.
That's where you get your middle name from.
All right.
Can you describe the household that you grew up in, you know, brothers, sisters, or what sort of thing?
I'm an only child. That explains that much, yeah. Well, I grew up mostly in a grocery environment, store environment. Dad was had been a school teacher. He was a superintendent at two different high schools when I was a little youngster. And mostly, I've been a grocery, you know, cast system butcher most of my life.
where were the grocery stores
then? Grocery store here in Kinsler, which has been here since 1919, basically. And he and his brother had taken it over from their father in about 1928. And Dad came back here a little bit later than that. I was, I think, about 4 years old. And he got involved back here in Kinsley. He was the superintendent of the high school at Raymond when I was born. And,
so your grandfather had a store?
We had the first, the store was originally here and down where Dottie's shop was. It was just a meat market. And,
when did your grandfather start that?
It was about 1919, I think, when they came to Kinsler from up in Washington County, on the farm up there.
Have you been a farmer before that?
Well, they had farmed and had 9 children. They all grew up in that house, most of them except my dad, down where Arnsman lives on Main Street. That big house I got painted blue now, next to Arnie and Camp House.
You know the address of that house?
Can't think of it right offhand, but that's the old Weidenheimer house. Not the first one they lived in here, but that's the one that I knew most of my life, and all my life. Yeah.
So there were 9 children.
9 children, and they're all gone. Yeah.
And he had been a farmer, and then came here.
Well, he'd been a farmer. They're coming up here from Washington, Canada. They stopped in Lyons for a while, had a meat market, and maybe another one in some other little town I can't remember. We ended up here in Kinsler in about 1919. See, I told you I need help.
Yeah, but you were right
the
first time.
Well, I lied.
We just confused you.
Lied a few years. Helps. Dad always told me the truth made a poor story.
Okay. So that your grandparents were here, and then your dad was one of 9 children. And when did he marry or leave, or, you know, how?
Well, he kind of left. He was in the latter part of World War II. And he was... He got his degree, I think, at Pittsburgh. He went to school, worked his way through school, down in Pittsburgh, in a meat market. And then from there, he went to the superintendent of high school, I think, in Ellington, Missouri, where he met my mother, by the way down the Ozarks. And they came back to Kansas, and he was the superintendent of high school there. That's when I was born in Hutchinson, and he was superintendent of high school at Lambeth. When I was about 4 years old, I came to Kansas.
Okay, so he got a degree in education.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he took over his father's business?
He and his brother eventually took over Louis, the old man's business. Yes.
And the brother's name is?
And Morris was here all the time. Morris, a little short one with a big gray mustache, if you remember. She remembers Morris. Yeah. He was a bachelor and never married. And they decided to start another store later. Harper. And that's how Morris got drafted, because he was single and he was about 35, I think, or something like that. Being single, and they got hard pressed for recruits, and they drafted him. And so he sold the store at Harper, and they came back here.
Okay, so Morris was running this store, and your dad was in Harper.
Right, yes, in Harper. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when Morris was going to have to go to the Army, he had to close this place here, which is where the old newspaper office is uptown now. Well, yeah, it is now. And we came back here, and Morris had been drafted, and they'd sent him away, and they closed this store. And Morris was going to, in a pretty short order, was going to get out. And he said, "Dad taught school here." He said, "I wonder," when we came back here, up at Kinston.
What did he teach?
He taught history and mathematics. Math, yeah.
Let's see. So when you came here, how old were you?
Came back. I think I might have been at, I remember going to sixth grade here. And when we came back, we left here, I was about the third grade, I think. And we either came back, yeah.
So you were in Harper about 3 years?
About 2.5. And I think we came here, I told Nancy, I think, the latter part of the fifth grade. But I'm not sure. I had Gail Graff. And I think I was here a whole year in the sixth grade. We lived down there. And that neighborhood across from Jerry Wilson's old house on the corner of the old gray house. And Dad taught school that winter, and then the next year we opened the grocery store. That's all I've known ever since, I guess. Just about.
Okay, so what, then, do you have some memories about the Depression and the Dust Bowl days?
Living in Harper, I certainly do. Had lots and lots of dust storms, and people were really, really hard up naturally. You used to run around with a wet wash rag around your face all day, try to keep the dust out of your system. It was not a very pleasant scene down there, but it wasn't anywhere, I don't think. I think we lived in Harper, in Pearl Harbor. I remember listening over somebody's house, listening to an old radio when Pearl Harbor happened. And that must have been just not too long after we got down there.
Do you remember your dad talking about the grocery business and, you know, the Depression and how people were buying food and stories of that?
Yes, I remember lots of those. Spent time going through the bad accounts. And saw plenty of those from Harper here and all over, yeah. Not jarring this. Not just talking so softly nobody can hear me. Yeah, I just kept moving further away all the time.
Did your dad carry people and help them out?
Yes. We charged a lot of groceries, and we lost a fabulous amount of money doing that. Dad died in 1967. And I used to wonder why he let people do that, but when I was in charge, I remember lots of times I did the same thing. People would come into the store with a big family and ruddy-eyed children and sad eyes and wanted to have a little bit of groceries. What can you do? And I always sold them to them, and knowing I would never get paid, which I didn't. Most times I didn't. But you did it anyhow. Yeah. You had enough to eat yourself, and you worried about other people. So, man, I got beat out of a lot of money. I wish I'd had all I got beat out of. I could have retired 7 years earlier, probably. But it's neither here nor there. Everybody's in a sorry situation now. I think.
So you were 10 years old on Pearl Harbor.
That's about it.
And you've already told us one way. When did your uncle go into the service? Was it right away?
It was pretty much right away. Yeah, because he was about ready to get discharged because of his age, I think. When he closed the store, and then we waited a while, and he was going to get to come home. We sold out down there, and he didn't get home when he thought he would. And we came back and said, Dad taught school that whole winter up there at the Kansas High School. And then we opened the store again.
So there was a time period when there wasn't a weed requirement?
There was a period there of,
about a year?
Like almost a year, I would say.
Did you have any other, your dad's family was large, any other uncles or anybody else who served in World War II?
I don't think so. We had Dick who was here, and then Morris. And they neither one of them served. And Uncle Drew lived in California. I don't think he did either. He was probably might have been about, he was pretty close to Morris and Dad's age. So I think his wife was totally blind. So I don't think he served either. That was about the size of him. Merlin, he was on the fire department over the Dodge City Air Base for quite a while during the war. But I don't think he didn't go to the Army, I don't think. May not have been able to, I don't know.
And what branch was your uncle in?
Morris, he was the Army.
Army.
Yeah, he.
And how did he serve? What was his duties?
He was a meat and food buyer for Tripler General Hospital in Honolulu. He was a staff sergeant, master sergeant. Quite appropriate, yeah. And he knew all about the meat business by the time he got over there.
Do you know about when he got there?
I don't recall. I don't remember.
Can you describe how it was when you went to that neighbor's and heard about the bombing of Pearl Harbor and as a child, what your reaction was?
Well, at 10 years old, I didn't have much reaction. I don't know if I recall. I guess, everybody else was all upset about it. And I thought, they tried to explain it to me, and I didn't much care. I wanted to go fishing or something. I don't remember at that age. I remember when it ended. I was in Hutchinson on a bus. It was quite exciting that day.
Well, go ahead and describe that.
Well, I've been swimming in Hutchinson down at the municipal swimming pool. And the news came while I was on the bus, and boy, people were hugging and kissing and having a real field day. And I thought, what in the hell's going on? There's a lot of young ladies on there. I probably entered into it some.
I think you would have been...
I don't remember too well.
How old would you have been then?
Old enough to know the difference.
16 or...
Oh, yeah.
Somewhere
in that neighborhood, yeah.
So this was a municipal bus?
My aunt was visiting down there, and my cousin, who's a doctor in Tulsa now. I lived down in North Monroe. And I took a bus from their house there out to the swimming pool out there where it is, and that's in that, you know, in Cherry Park, down in that neighborhood, yeah. Anyhow, took me a while to get home.
So, how was the news announced on the bus, or where was it announced?
Oh, well, they were blaring different speakers on the streets.
On the streets?
Yeah, yeah, people were all running around and couldn't even drive uptown. Yep. Yep, that's something else. That might have been, I can't remember if that was the end of the war in Japan, or, yeah, I think that was.
Was after
the atomic bomb dropped, yeah.
That. So, I think, you said 1941 you were back here?
The schoolhouse burned down in 41. I think we were here when it happened from Harper. And we came back not too often very long after that.
Now, I just read that in something else last night about a schoolhouse burning during the war. That would have been a difficult thing for the community to rebuild.
Kids went to school for several years in church basements and different odd places. But up to when I see my room, the first year this new school was open, we were in junior high. Was that? She says it's 43, 44, and then 4 years of high school. We were the first class of junior high to be in the new building.
So they were able to build a school during the war.
They had it going, yeah, started. But it opened, I say we were in the first class to go up here in 43 that night. We were in junior high. And they had the junior high and the high school combined, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty much of a kid growing up in 41. Two.
What other ways do you think World War II affected, you know, that your growing up years? Those teenagers?
I don't know. I was pretty much protected, I think. I'm not protected, but like I say, I never paid much attention to them, sack groceries and sack potatoes and working the meat market and help Dad butcher cattle and everything else. We used to do all that right in the same building. Butcher their own cattle and ride the back of the old market all day. We had a kill for it back then, yeah. So that was pretty busy.
Well, your family unit, and your father wasn't fighting, and so...
He was a butcher all his life, too. That was how he worked with very few colors doing that. Leaving with David, a very good teacher, I'm sure. He had quite a good reputation. Mother about killed him for not staying with him instead of coming back to the grocery store. I would have liked to, yeah.
Why do you think he did that?
Old general families were pretty tight-knit people. He could have had the opportunities to do a lot of other things and go to better places and didn't because of his family at the time. And I think I can see that because I might have done that myself. I wanted to stay right where I was. Built that in 46. Yeah. I think Grandpa Whitener owned that building too at the time back in those days.
That was started out as a Western Auto Store?
Dick had a Western Auto Store there one time.
Before it was the Locker?
Oh, yes. Merlin had a place up front there. He sold Crosley cars. and then the Lustron houses, and just a digit, and then Whirlpool appliances for a while until he left and went to California about the time I went to service in 1951, December of 51.
Do you remember when your uncle came home from war? Was there any kind of a celebration or party or?
No, I mean, they didn't celebrate. They just disappeared. No home thing about it. He just was there one day, and next day they went to work on the store.
Did the community celebrate in any way? Were there parades or anything?
Oh,
or?
No, gosh, no. I was trying to remember. No, it wasn't. We didn't overhaul the store until 55. When I got home, they were overhauled over the store quite a bit. And that's about the time we built the locker plant. We took the kill floor out where we used to butcher and all that, and we put it over the locker plant over where Jack Lancaster's got his junk heap now. That's where sort of we did all the butchering and everything over there then. But, I don't remember any. No more ruckus, nobody cared much.
Okay, one other thing we were sort of interested in was the Hispanic and the black community in town. And
well, we all thought they were just part of the community back then. Well, there was maybe a couple of three colored families. They were all just like the rest of us. And the Winchesters and the Gaines and Bus Martin's family and the Grabs. And we just accepted them just like the DNA now. Never thought anything about racial prejudices back then.
They couldn't sit downstairs.
I think they had to sit up in the balcony. And that depended a lot on probably who was running it at the time. But, Mexican families, my gosh. Maybe up to two or three families.
Well, there was a community that lived on the other side of the railroad tracks there that worked on the railroad? Is that?
Well, they did part of the time. The Amaros did. They lived down in that shack place along the tracks. And Rosie, who works down, and Alfonso, her brother, was in my class. And Ray S. had just died here a while back. We never paid any attention to that. We played that great football with little kids and went to school with them, and we never heard anything they said. Anything about being makers or Mexicans or any of that kind of stuff. And I never thought about that.
So they could have lived any place?
Yeah, they did. They did live places well. One of them lived on that field right across from the high school. One of them lived in a little old house over in Chicago. Big Mama Chicago had several children.
Huh? They lived there.
Sure, yeah, they did.
But, correct me if I'm wrong, when Dr. Snowden came, the Hispanic people mainly lived in this area.
Well, Doc came here in 46.
And there was so much TV and stuff that he had it closed down. Had him closed down that area.
I don't know. Well, I couldn't say.
That's the story that we were told.
Well, that might have been, but, yeah. I remember one of my lived up there. They had their own marijuana class and everything. Nobody thought anything about it. Me, Yossi took over up there after they left, running the junkyard up there. Lee was in like a year ahead of me in high school.
Lee Yossi's place was on the north side of the highway or the south side of the highway?
Lee's mother lived over just by the Easy Stop or Greasy Stop or whatever you want to call it. They had a little stone house that sat right back to the liquor store there down on the lot back there. And his name was Charlie. His mother's name was Dorothy. And, matter of fact, Grandpa White, remember, I think, bought the meat market uptown to start with back in the early years, and a fellow named Yossi. And I'm not sure it wasn't Charlie Yossi. Wasn't anything to do with Lee, but it might have been a relative.
But the
They said east of the tracks, on the other side of the tracks, on the highway. Yeah, and then I'm all turned around. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you had to go across the tracks down here to get there. Yeah, I've been down there less than when they lived there. Long time ago. But they migrated all over town after a while. Chicans used to be down there. They lived in town here too, I can't remember where. But, of course the Gaines were all accepted people. Bill Gaines was one of the shag shoes up there, all the barber shop. And Junior Gaines was married Norma Winchester. Norma was in, that's in my class in school, and I'm she was here about a year ahead of me. And that's it. That guy, yeah, she was in the chemistry class I had once.
How big was your class?
How about? I don't remember. I think probably about 40. Somewhere close to that. Kennedy was a bigger town than me. 2,600 people here, I think, at the time in high school. And now it's a little bigger. It's over 1,600, I think. But the Gaines guys all did fine. Winchester did, but with Norma's son, she married the Winchester, married Gaines. You remember her son, but he was such an athlete. He was using up in some education deal now. I can't remember what he does. He a college professor? Or?
He's a professor. He's a head of the law department. North Carolina. I
didn't
know. One of the Carolinas.
His dad was Dorsey Gaines. And unfortunately, he was killed in a knife fight in Kansas City somewhere in the bar. But they were all well accepted around here. And Skate Winchester's kids were all over. Pretty well. But I messed up my own. I did it kind of back then when it all took. Yeah, occasionally she did. Not as a regular thing she did. She's a housewife, I guess.
Well, that's what I remember.
Yeah, she when she got older, she used to hang around there just for something to do, the news store. Mm-hmm. We built that in 64. And Dad was alive when it was built, but he died just shortly thereafter. About 67. He was about to for several years. Just did it, I guess.
He had a long tradition of being in grocery
stores. He certainly had. Yeah, I was there longer than any of them. I was there pretty regularly. From, well, that's when I was married in 51. And I was in there with them and most of my high school days, or the days I was in high school after the murder. So I spent a lot of years after Dad died in a long time. I put Dick and Morris in the grave out there. And then Dick never was in the grocery store. He sold the TVs or whatever Merlin was. He sold RCA and television. Which I was involved in too, that and the locker plant both. that ended very suddenly.
as a child and young person, I know after World War II, I'm a little younger than you are, my brothers and things would play war games, and did you do that sort of thing during the war?
Everybody had a bunch of lead soldiers and stuff that they used to play with, and they had the army uniforms on and guns. And yes, I probably did. Yeah, I think you're right.
I know my brothers had little, they got the Air Force helmets and, you know.
And I used to do some, I can't remember that. Had knocking, get gas masks. Mm-hmm. Used to run around with those damn things on all the time. Yeah. I remember that. That was pretty. Well, had to have fun wherever you were, I guess. And couldn't spend all our time fishing. Of course, we did. That didn't cost me that. Used to walk down the creek down and fish constantly. And it wasn't working.
Now, you were German heritage, right?
Well. Yeah, my mother and grandmother was an Irish Scotch Irish from up the place. Her brother was a lawyer, but he knows where it is. And she was a Scotch Irish and just spoke better German than most of the Germans did.
And this area had a lot of German in it. Did you notice any treatment because of Nazi Germany in the war, or was that?
Not too many instances of it, because there were so many Germans around here. I did. One thing I remember was that where Grandpa lived and Grandma lived, you know, Heiko Fellman used to come down and visit with him on the front porch and Barry Alden. And they were all real old blockbusters. And Grandpa, and they sit out there and they talk German. Grandpa escaped it. They hauled both of those other fellows in for questioning because they were speaking English all the time.
Who hauled them?
The law. Local
or?
They're local. No, it wasn't local. Somebody turned them into the authorities that looked for. It was during the war.
So the federal
people. Questioning them.
Questioning.
And they got out of it. He said, well, you can't deny us our native language. They didn't do anything to them, but they were watching them. And the dad spoke German. Dad spoke German. He could speak German better than the rest of his family. He took it from college besides. He used to translate the wills for these old German people to the lawyers. Well, I think of some of them that he didn't. The names escaped me now, but I remember several people who. They made their rules on him. Yeah, they made it and translated it to the lawyers. And he did. He spoke good German. All I learned of it was a bad language. I can make myself understood, man.
Probably the people who don't even speak German.
No. Well, yeah. Yeah. It did help out one time, though, from messing around with. We went on the Rhine River cruise and we were in a little town in Georgia there one night and got lost. And then I went into a place looking for help and nobody could speak English and I got lost. That woman finally made him understand I wanted the taxi. I was lost. Got back down to our boat, which is on the Rhine River. And that was scary. And that was about 3 or 4 years ago. Or 5, maybe. Okay. Yeah, I thought that. It'll help out.
Did your family have relatives still in Germany, or were they?
Yes, we had
during the war. I mean, in that
still do.
Still do. Do you remember any discussion in your home about in regards
to
the war?
No, Dad never did know any. But I have a cousin that gets into genealogy. Lives in down in Dallas right now, but. They've been over to visit UCM. White Knight was over there. They were near Frankfurt. He was a music teacher. And they spent some time with him. And they came over to visit here with us one time. And that's him over in Wichita with Beth when she was in intensive care when she died from that accident she was in. And we went to Germany at that time and tried to get a hold of them, and they were over in another country for some doers they'd gone to. So I didn't get to see them. But, yeah, there are relatives over there. Yeah, they've been without them. They're over there. I think they all. I don't think they had too awful much trouble finding a job and stuff like that. They might have had some psychological problems. They did, especially in Korea and Vietnam. I don't know if they had satellites and logic or something. But the Second World War, I think they pretty much satisfied the mercy rooms and go to work and do whatever they could, and they got along pretty well. Headed to police action.
Let's. I think maybe we can move on to the Korean War a little bit. How did you get involved in being in the Coast Guard? What was your?
Well, I had a number of friends. that were about my age, or past the age of wanting to go to service and marriage, which we were up to. And I had an old friend that lived over at Lewis over in the farm out there, Emma Fisher, he's his name. Norman and Donnie had two sons. One of them, I think, was a comrade of Donnie Bowers' wife right now. Well, the other one died. Yeah. I think Donnie took him. Or lived in or wherever the hell it is. Pardon me.
That's
right. Anyway, his dad was a great mason. I don't know if it's great or not, but he was in the Masonic Lodge door. And he had a recruiting officer in Kansas City with a boot scrap. Wanted some boys from out here in the Middle West. And Emma would get them on a train, take them down there, and get some recruited in there and on your way to California. And that's where Jake Rombaugh and me, and Wayne Warwick, that used to be here, and Carl Wingfield from Greensboro, and of course, Emma Fisher's two sons from out there, Donnie and Norman. There was a bunch of us. Jay Messing was a person. Yeah, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. There were several.
And you guys are amazing. Already married?
Yeah. Most of us were. No, Wayne wasn't. Wayne Wright was. The best man of his wedding in California after that. After that, he wasn't married, but Jake and I were. No, Jake wasn't either. That's he came home to his wedding when I was in Santa Barbara. Yeah.
So, I'm trying to remember, when did you say you got married?
51.
51.
Once we were married in October and went to service in December.
Ah, okay. What did Nancy think about that?
Not much.
Did she know you were going to do this when you got married?
Not right at the time. It just got worse than that. So, the draft board was asking when I was going to have to do it. So, I saw a good chest and we got. Went to Santa Barbara and traveled all over the United States, kind of. There and back in Connecticut. I was in Santa Barbara in the Coast Guard cutter for about 10 and a half years.
So you were enlisting in the Coast Guard before you would have been drafted, probably, for the Army.
That's right. That was the best deal out for me. And, of course, it was at the tail end of it. There wasn't any fighting going on, I think, around there. I just had to go put my time in. I thought, well, I'm a cook and the bottle washer and the baker. I'm just as well. Just want to go do something I know how. And that's what I ended up doing. Went back to baking school in Connecticut for 4 months. And I seen the railroad. Jake was back there, too. And I spent a month in the butcher shop and they had me teaching while I was in there. Just about, yeah. A big base back there in Groton, Connecticut. Yeah.
And then what? Is there a boat in the Coast Guard? What did you serve on?
I was on a Coast Guard cutter out of Santa Barbara.
Coast Guard cutter.
Yeah.
What was the name of it?
Didn't have a name, just had a number.
Oh.
83-366. Had 13 men and an officer. And we were on air sea rescue all the time. I was also the cook and also the radio. Because I didn't know what it could be, Morse code.
When did you learn that?
I took up amateur radio when I was in the Coast Guard. I had a friend out there that had a shore shop with all the boat radios and the taxicab radios and stuff like that. We got to be great friends, and he'd been an instructor at MIT during the war, the Second World War. And a real black man, he got me started in amateur radio. And by the time I came home, I could send him more code and copy it for 25, 30 words a minute. Been doing it ever since. Still do.
Still, you're an amateur.
But I like Santa Barbara, and I like the people out there, and there's some wonderful, influential folks in the coaches. And if they hadn't lived for us, I don't know if good or would have done them. We had jurisdiction over, I think it was from Port Hueneme to Fort Magoo along the shoreline. And then we had all the Channel Islands out there, Santa Capa, Santa Cruz, San Miguel. They were about 30 miles offshore. And the islands, we had the lighthouse out there that we took supplies to and attended to. We were on constant call. They called the main radio station for the Coast Guard in Nantucket Queen and out of Long Beach, and they would call us on the radio if anybody was in trouble in that whole vicinity. We'd go to see about it, maybe 150, 20 miles, and rescue work and stuff like that, fires, boat fires. I always got pretty amused that the Portuguese salmon fishermen would go up the north for the season in their big fishing boats, and they had a bad season. We always had fires. And they came down off around the coast from up north, and they set their boats on fire and sank them. They could get the insurance because they had a bad year of fishing. So we had to go out there and get them out of the water and help sink the floating things, that like the gas and fuel and drums that were floating in the water. And I think it was a menace to navigation of a boat. And there was a whole lot of dead people on it. You know. People were not all the nice, clean thing, you know. I did acquire a real good friend while I was in Santa Barbara, but we used to go out to sea with us all the time. It was a movie star, Barry Fitzgerald. He was a good friend. I used to have my galley many days. So he's a quiet man, but for John Wayne, I watch it because Barry was in that show. He was quite an old Irish drunk. That's just who he was.
Why did he go out to sea with you?
He lived in Santa Barbara. He was retired.
And the Coast Guard just let him tag along?
I could take anybody I wanted to. They all knew him. He'd come down every day. He'd sit down together and drink coffee and get a call to go to sea for a day or so. He'd just go with us. He was a character. You see a lot out there.
What would you think was the most exciting or the thing that you did during your patrol? Was there any story that sticks out that...
On the Coast Guard?
Mm-hmm.
I think the most exciting day I had, we lived in no government housing project. That's what I did. And that ain't most of that time. We never started over the farm. We were born here in Kinsman. I think the most exciting thing was we just lived from hand to mouth. It's pretty tough going. And had a little refrigerator I bought somewhere up in town. It had the unit on top, and there was noise here in the hill. My neighbor next door was a Marine sergeant of some kind. He he'd get mad for the refrigerator making so much noise, keeping his kids away from next door. And when we got ready to leave that doggone thing, I got my orders to evacuate and go back to, I got transferred to St. Louis to get discharged. And Nancy and I just ate our last meal there, threw all our silverware, our plates and everything in the waste basket, and I just left the old refrigerator sitting there running. Yeah, I went over to, I think I told my neighbor next door if he wanted it, he could take it out back and shoot it if he wanted to. Anyway, I guess that was the most exciting day I had, because we're coming home.
Yeah. So then you came back here, and when did the Luffy house?
Oh, Merlin had that about the time I went to service.
And he was a salesman or something?
He had a dealership, you know, and things. I don't know how many of them he sold. He had 200 or 300, one here, and maybe one at Greensburg, I think, one time, and one someplace else. And then things got tough because of, I think they talked that the Lumbermen's Association lobbied them out. So it was too tough. They last forever. As you can well see, that's old, that house of Nadine's. I lived there.
Yeah.
Merlin lived there a short time, and then he moved to Palo Alto, California. And when I came home, Merlin still owned it. But Morris Gleason lived there. And I told Merlin that I wanted to live there, so he told Bill Merlin that I was going to live there and he was going to have to move. So Morris moved, and I lived there until about the time I started this house here. We moved into here in 61.
What year was it that you came back?
About 54, early in 55.
And it was built what year?
Well, it was built back to... Merlin left here the same time I did in 51. He was there about that time. He went to California.
So it was built a year or two before that, or?
Nancy? You know when Merlin built that Lustron house?
When did the Lustron house get built?
That's right.
In the end of October
1951.
So it had to be
in
the
year. That's what I was like, yeah.
That's where I
came.
Thank you.
And Merlin Gleason's lived there when we came home, and Merlin was living in Palo Alto at that time. And then Merlin sold the thing after we got out there to do it again. It has a house right next to the Episcopal Church there, or did. Eddie has it now, but really getting on that house for the time Nadine moved in there and bought it for us.
You remember it being built and what people were saying and
Yeah. I remember when all these damn park homes, addition homes, were being built down here too. I remember Mal Rosetta probably remember. You remember old preacher Larson, used to be at the Christian church.
I remember the name.
He had a son in there that I think did all the wiring, most of it, on these park condition houses here. And down this neighborhood, this street, and maybe on the next street over on 3rd Street.
Were these built for the new in the 40s?
No, it would be in the 50s, early 50s, I think, most of them. I'm not sure. I know when Nancy, we bought this place for our house here out of this wheat field from Carl Wilson. And that's where even when Nancy's mother's in the folks' house lived over there, an old fellow named Kelly. Lived back of that, and then they had that whole area there was old Kelly, it was some relation to Dale Smith. His house burned down back there, and Baird's house wasn't there then either on the corner. this is all kind of a wilderness down in here. No kid. Yeah, I had about a foot of soil water in my house in the cliff. Sure did.
What year was that?
65. I remember the date and I said, believe it or not.
You're doing good.
Yeah, 65. I never will forget that. I had a real good friend uptown. He was a Christian preacher, Dale Ryder, as he's known. Dale hung around out the store all the time, and we were both ham radio operators. Dale came down here with me that morning in the middle of it was dark, early in the morning. It was when the water was coming up, and he almost fell in the manhole in the alley down there. The lid had flopped off and was water. We came down here and we jerked all the rugs off I couldn't get off of the floors. And by the time we got out of here, we almost had to swim out. The water was up pretty high. It was up and coming in the house. That was a bad experience. You know, we moved most of the furniture to my dad's garage over there on 7th Street. And the north water didn't get up high enough, it was going through his garage. Then we had to move it in from there in the house. We lived that over that yellow house, and it's got a yellowish house. Where? No. My Massey mother lived over there. Yeah, my folks lived down there next to Hutchinson's big red house on the corner. That little yellow house next door. That's where my folks built that house, yeah. About the time I got ready to go to college. Before they got rid of me, they could build a new house. This is about what happened. I never lived in it, but I don't think of it. I stayed there a little bit during the summer and worked. Anyway, that's. I'm going to quit talking so much and I'll answer questions.
No, that's good.
Yep, I know the restaurant houses. Well, I've had more people ask me about them in the last month or two. Are you building? You sell those things? No, I didn't. No, I can burn them dead. I've been dead for a lot of years. Oh, they've all been dead quite a while. Got him from, but he had the dealership. Before he got them, I don't remember.
And they're basically screwed or bolted together? Is construction
screwing
and bolting?
Oh, it's just stout material. Oh, my Lord. A tornado would have a hard time blowing that thing down. I remember getting up in the attic and they were trying to do a few things. That's construction. It's been tough stuff.
And there was the lumberman that
I think they think they lobbied the places out for some reason. That's what I always heard.
And nobody's done it since then, which is amazing.
No steel homes like the last one.
And they were like prefab.
They were put up in new sections, just like in the ordinary. Well, the panels. It was unique. If I was looking for rental property, I don't think you could move a whole herd of Mexicans in there and they wouldn't hurt it. You might have to wash it down, take the hose inside and scrub it up. That's tough stuff. Really tough. Inside the living room, they had to run the whole panel of the wall with mirror. If I remember. She had made a lot of improvements since she'd lived there, maybe. She put the forced air in there, how, I don't know. Used to have a little furnace that sat and nicked off the kitchen right there. They heated inside the walls. didn't have any ductwork or anything else. It just heated inside that the wall, the metal wall. But it did the job, and I never got kind of old and shabby and broke down all the time. He got a little tough about it, and I think she decided they might do something else for 8, and so I think she had a ductwork in there sometime. Hadn't been there to look. Don't know. Being pretty darn young and a kid, I had a lot of fun in Harper too. I got to know people pretty quick. And we used to have, be like most kids. We climbed trees and had rope swings and ate green pears and got belly aches and just like we would have here probably. That and mulberries.
Do you think it affected your decision to go in the Coast Guard, knowing what World War II had been like? I mean, because you said rather than be drafted in the Army, you went in the Coast Guard.
Being married and it had a lot to do with it, yeah. And the Korean deal was about over anyway. I was going to have to go spend 3 years. I figured I'd just well do something I wanted to do. I could have been a butcher in the Army, probably. If it hadn't been for some people enticing me into the Coast Guard, I probably wouldn't have, but I had some help. Carl and Marcia Wingfield, they got by Wesley, were good friends. And we got to be better friends of theirs in the service. And have been friends ever since. Marcia's dead now. Anyway, it just looked like a good project, and Jake liked the idea of it, and that's what we did.
Do you think that World War II made changes in Edwards County? Made changes to Edwards County? How did the war affect the county? If it did. I mean, were people coming and going, or people coming, did they come back after the war? Did the men tend to go off and work other places?
Yes, a lot of them probably did, but it increased the amount of people in the county. We had to. We had a lot of people in Edwards County, especially after the veterans did come home. I kind of wish we had that many.
Did they stay when they came back?
Lots of them did stay. A lot of them stayed here. A lot of them had businesses here. And I'm sure a lot of them did move on, but it didn't. I don't remember any, at least there wasn't anything that I was paying attention to.
When did the population start to go down, and what do you think caused that?
I wish I knew. I could probably sell that for about a month. I don't know. It's been the last, I think it's been declining the last 10, 12 years, more than ever. My mother died 12 years ago. It had slipped quite a bit since then. We lost a dealership, car dealership or two, and a good restaurant. We lost the Cedars, which was here a while, which didn't help in that place. And there's a lot of businesses you couldn't measure. Reputation. Mammals used to have that big store on the corner. Safeway was down the other corner where Ryan was. And Gus Hearn was at the other place over where the duck walls was. And then Steve Seifel, what's the other boy, Denny Friesen came. He opened that over there, and he was doing really good. He couldn't do good enough to make it either. He just got many grocery stores in town. So he went to Johnson, and then he ended up in Denver. Bill Turner stayed there as long as he could, and his wife died. Unfortunately, I never did exist until I was the only store in town. I sold it to Disciple World. Disciple wanted it bad. That made him the only store in Memphis County. He could have done really well, didn't want to. Wasn't very ambitious making on that particular line. He went to Dodge doing something else and died. Had us off with this cancer. But Jace Holton is doing well. He's doing really good. He's the only one here, and he's doing great. He's a good boy. Good boy. Yeah. Lord, I wouldn't have any idea where they were if we did. I know we didn't have any drop pictures now. Oh, we took a lot of them on 35 millimeter slides. I've got a whole gob of slides of my kids when they're little and stuff like that. We never watched them, but I think the bulb was burned out of my slides together. Now they're taking pictures of the great granddaughter. That's what we're doing. Got a little granddaughter born last August. She's our main interest these days, I guess. I'll see her Easter.